Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I mean, tell us what was going on with Jonathan Cahn
yes.
in Washington, D.C.
April the 30th is the was the 226th anniversary of President George Washington's inaugural inauguration, and it's a wonderful event that takes place in D.C., and they celebrated it with prayer. They invited congressmen together and just to you know, hear what the speaker had to say. This time it was Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, and he brought a message.
His church is right across from the where the towers, right?
No, his church
Jersey?
Is in Wayne, New Jersey.
Oh,
yeah,
Jersey, that's right.
Wayne, New Jersey. But I tell you what, God's given him a platform, and he delivered this speech, and he gave
us. He's the author of the Semitic Year,
and the Harbinger, both New York Times bestsellers. I mean, they're just still relevant. People are.
And we have several programs. We'll make those related to this. You can see it on the VFN Torch.
He's hearing from God.
Yes,
he's hearing
accurately.
From God, and God's given him a platform, and there's a very interesting address that he makes. In fact, why don't you just let's watch it now?
Oh yeah.
It is April 29th, 2015. 226 years ago this day, George Washington readied himself for the first ever presidential inauguration to take place the following day, the day that America as we know it came into existence with a president's hand resting on the word of God. That day would conclude with America's first government gathering in prayer to dedicate the nation's future to God. A century and a half earlier, another seminal event took place on the same day, on April 29, 1607. The voyagers on the Susan Constant, the Discovery, and the Godspeed gathered together in prayer at Cape Henry to set a wooden cross in the sands of Virginia Beach and to dedicate the new civilization to the will and the purposes of God. America's biblical foundation would be affirmed and reaffirmed over and over again by its forefathers, from the Pilgrims of the Mayflower to the Puritans of Massachusetts Bay to the leaders of the first American colonies who declared publicly and in writing that the new Commonwealth had come into existence solely for the glory and purposes of God. No historian can rewrite that. No president can expunge that. And if 1,000 angels swore in 1,000 Bibles that this was not the case, it would in no way alter the fact that this American civilization was conceived, established, dedicated, and founded on a biblical cornerstone. America was brought into existence for the will and the purpose of God. On this night, over 200 years ago, George Washington held in his hand the first ever presidential address. In that address was a prophetic warning. It was this: the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself hath ordained. In other words, if America should ever turn away from God and his ways, if it should ever disregard his eternal rules of order and right, then his blessings, the smiles of heaven, would be removed from the land. It was an ancient warning. It had been given in Hebrew words by the prophets to the kingdom of Israel. But Israel turned away from God and disregarded his eternal rules of order and right. They drove God out of their government, out of their public squares, out of their culture, out of the lives of their children. They worshiped idols and served other gods. They celebrated immorality and they persecuted righteousness. They lifted up their children on the altars of foreign gods. And the blessings of God were removed from the land and replaced with judgment. It is 2,500 years later, and America has made the same mistake. We too have turned away from God. We too have driven him out of the government, out of our public square, out of our culture, out of the lives of our children. We too have profaned the sacred and sanctified the profane. And we too have killed our most innocent, over 55 million of our unborn children, and our collective hands are covered with blood. What we were warned never to do, we now have done. And now we gather in the city named after the one who gave us the prophetic warning. And yesterday in this city, in the building that sits across from this hill, the justices of the Supreme Court took up their places on the bench to decide whether America should strike down the biblical and historic definition of marriage. The very fact that an event should take place as such is a sign in itself that this is the America of Washington's warning. It's here. And this day of which he warned is now. We have become a civilization in spiritual schizophrenia, a nation at war against its own foundation. The Supreme Court opens its sessions with the words, "God save the United States and this honorable court." But if this honorable court should overrule the word of God and strike down the eternal rules of order and right that heaven itself hath ordained, how then will God save it? Supreme Court justices, can you judge the ways of God? Can you, with man-made verdicts, overrule the eternal laws of God? There is another court, and there is another judge, and before him all men and all judges will give account. If a nation's high court should pass judgment on the Almighty, should you then be surprised that the Almighty should pass judgment on the court and that nation? In the book of Jeremiah, it's written, has a nation ever exchanged its gods? Yet my people have exchanged their glory for that which cannot help them. Let us not pretend as to what we are now doing. We are doing that which Israel did on the altars of Baal. We are exchanging our God for idols, our light for darkness, and our glory for that which cannot save us. Are we ready to risk that which comes on the other side of that exchange, the day when the blessings of heaven are removed from the land? We began with a word from the president of our first nations, or the day that he began as president. I now speak a word to the president of our nation's most recent days. Each time I've spoken here, I've asked a question. I'll now answer it. Mr. President, with all respect that is due, what happens if one assumes the presidency by placing his left hand on the word of God and then with his right hand enacts laws that war against the very same word of God on which he laid his hand? Such an act invokes the judgment of the Almighty. To swear an oath on the word of God on which it's written, defend the weak and do not murder, and then to not defend the weak, to not protect the unborn, but instead to advance their murder, is to invoke the judgment of the Almighty. To swear an oath on the word of God in which it's written, do not cause your brother to stumble, and then to seek to force those who uphold the word of God to transgress the word of God by partaking in the killing of the unborn and the celebration of sin, is to invoke the judgment of the Almighty. And to swear an oath on the word of God in which it's written, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, and then to take part in the leading of a nation away from the eternal rules of order and right that heaven itself hath ordained, and against the very word of God on which you laid your hand, is to invoke the judgment of the Almighty. When the leaders of ancient Israel turned away from God, when they abolished his precepts and broke his covenant, they did so in the shadow of Moses, whose voice cried out to them in warning. Mr. President, when you address the nation from this house, look up above the senators and the representatives, above the Supreme Court justices and above the invited guests, and you'll see a face, the only full visage in that wall. Looking back at you, it is the face of Moses. And if that face could speak, it would say this: no man can overrule the laws of God, no order can annul the order of God, and no judgment of man can stand against the judgments of God. Invoke not his judgment, but choose life. Lead in the way of repentance. Invoke the grace of God that he might have mercy on this land. We've come to a most critical moment. As Elijah stood on top of Mount Carmel and cried out to Israel in his hour of decision in between two altars and two gods, his voice now cries out to America and says, choose you this day whom you will serve. 70 years ago, the chaplain of the United States Senate cried out with the same voice and said to this nation, if the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him and go to hell. Tonight, America stands at the crossroads. And as Elijah came to the summit of Mount Carmel to make a declaration, we've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence. And from this high place, we make this declaration. We will not bow down our knees to Baal. We will not bow down our knees to political correctness. We will not bow down our knees to a morality that is as shifting as sand in the wind. We will not bow down our knees to the laws and precepts of rebellion or the sacred cows of moral apostasy. We will not bow down our knees to the idols of man. We will not bow down to Baal. We will bow down our knees only to the Lord our God, come what may, and we will have no other gods before him. For some trust in chariots, some trust in princes, some trust in Supreme Courts, some trust in White Houses, some trust in governments, some trust in Wall Street, some trust in powers, and some trust in idols. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, in the name above all names, above all kings, above all powers. We will trust in the only name
given by which we can be saved. We will trust in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Judge of all judges, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, the foundation stone upon which this nation came into existence, and the only answer, the only chance, and the only hope that America has, that it might once again shine with the light of the fire of the presence of the glory of the living God and not go to hell. So help us, God. Thank you.
Totally awesome. Mm. I mean, that's it. And that is that. You know, I'm thinking about these words in Chronicles that amazingly begins with if. Mm. You know, if you do this, then I'll do that. You know, God says when all these things start to happen, you know, storms, plagues, locusts, economic crisis, all these things that we're seeing like today.
Yeah.
He said, when you see these things, if you, you who are my people, now not anybody else, just like Jonathan's, you know, you who are my people, if you humble yourself, think about that. It's not about people that are not following God. It's not about people that don't claim to, you know, that want anything to do with God. It's not that with them. He says, if you who are called by my name, will humble yourself and pray and turn from your wicked ways, our wicked ways. He says, you know what? I'll hear that. I'll hear that from heaven, despite all these things that are going on. I'll forgive your sins and I'll heal your land. The land is responding. The economy is responding. Politics is responding to our sin, to the church's sin. Not to the world. So that's just a byproduct of the church being in sin.
Yeah.
But it begins with if. And it is an if. You know, you have people saying, you know, this is what I see. And, you know, I see two things. I see what happens if we go this way and what happens if we go this way. And I potentially see prophetically is because we went the way we did, it's not going to be an easy turn back no matter if we do turn. It's still going to be a big swaying, slow aircraft carrier type turn in the ocean, you know. It takes a mile to turn it around.
Wow.
And so one thing I do see, if we keep doing what we've been doing and expect different results, that's insanity. And one thing Hitler talked about in Germany, he said, I'm not worried about the Christians and the ministers. They sweat like pigs when they're, this is what he said, they sweat like pigs when they're around me.
Wow.
When they're around power and they get nervous, we can make them do anything we want to. Why? Because they wanted to be close to men's power instead of God's power.
Mm.
We've got to be willing to be treated like Jesus was treated to be able to have what Jesus had. We've got to be willing. He says, you're not going to be treated any better than the teacher. But if we're not following the teacher and we're being treated well by people who treated God badly, then we're being treated like false prophets. Mm-hmm. In other words, they call us Christians, but are we?
Yeah.
And I think the insanity is, okay, what we're doing ain't working. Let's go back to the original intent. Let's just, you know, let's don't do one more sermon on whatever, this or that. Let's get back to what Jesus preached. What is the red letters? What did Jesus say? And when we do that, we're really surprised to find out, oh my goodness, dear Lord, wash me, Jesus. Yeah. I was listening to this or listening to that. And I really believe this, and several have seen it as well, that the church as you see it today, it's going to thrive. You know, you're going to see a great harvest coming, but it won't look the same. You'll have something that appears to be like what was, but you're going to have, I mean, Dietrich Bonhoeffer struggle with what is the church. And his definition finally was Christ in community. We're called to be the family of God.
Mm.
Listen, being a believer, walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ is more than just saying a prayer and playing songs you'd like to listen to. It's about fellowship with the creator of the universe. It's about family, brothers and sisters and spiritual fathers and mothers who love you and care about you and want to live your life together. I mean, you immediately begin to walk in the blessing and the benefit the day you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life if you walk into the church, which is Christ in community. And I believe that the family of God is going to rise up and the family is going to be tightly knit together and that we're going to, you know, grow and build ourselves up as each part does its work and speaking the truth in love, not in hatred and that type of thing. And no matter what happens in the world, I think what was going on at the time, You know, when Paul was preaching, I mean, you got Roman, Caesar, you got all these things going on. It was irrelevant. It was irrelevant that Pilate stood in front of the Son of God. Jesus wasn't worried about what his politics were. They didn't care whether he was a liberal or Democrat or conservative or independent. He says, the only thing that you have, the only way you have authority is my Father above has allowed you to have it. He was not caught up in all that. And when we begin to take that journey of walking with Jesus to reach people and reach all the nations of the world, things begin to change. All of a sudden, it's like, whatever, you know, whatever happens. But I believe it. You're speaking about fundamental transformation. It's going to begin to happen to the church. And it's not like it's going to change. We're going to get back to the basics. What are the basics of walking with Jesus? You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.